Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID rise sparks concern for ECISD by Ruth Campbell. With COVID-19 cases rising in Ector County and Ector County ISD about to welcome its sixth phase of students back November 2nd, Superintendent Scott Murray urged the community to follow health protocols to help keep the disease in check and keep the schools on track. Phase 6 will bring 7th graders and 10th graders back to campuses. As of Monday, pre-kindergarten through 7th grade and 9th and 10th graders will have the opportunity for 5-day-a-week face-to-face learning. They will still be able to learn virtually if they choose. I had a conversation with our medical community and leaders in our city government and county government and other officials from Ector County. While we are seeing a rise in the numbers in our community, the safety procedures that we put in place as a school district are working, Murray said in a media call Wednesday. We are seeing the numbers in our schools, the number of students and teachers and other staff members with the virus increase, but that spread is not happening in our buildings. That spread is happening in our community. He lauded the staff and students for following safety procedures in school and said campuses are among the safest places you can be in the community. Murray said ECISD doesn't want to wind up in the same situation as El Paso, which hasn't had students in school since the beginning of March due to the COVID situation in that city. That's because of the good work of our staff members and the good work of our students, so we appreciate that. With that said, we have a rise in COVID-19 cases in our community. Our positivity rate is increasing. The number of people testing positive is increasing, and the hospitalization rate, the number of people in our hospitals, is increasing. So in my conversation with our medical community this morning and city and county governments, it is critically important that we as a community are doing everything that we can do to maintain social distancing while we're in public, to make sure that we constantly wear a mask, and to make sure that we are keeping our hands clean and keeping our hands away from our faces, Murray said. If the community fails to act, he said, the school district may have to reverse course and transition to a virtual environment again. We do not want to do that. Our data indicate that many of our students who are currently experiencing school in a virtual environment are really struggling. Today at ECISD, that's 1/3 of our students, over 10,000 students who are in a virtual environment, and some of those kids are having a difficult time. We need to make sure that as a community, we're taking care of our health so that we can continue to bring students back into our campuses to ensure that they have a high-quality academic experience, Murray said. On a separate topic, the district is seeking a partner for Bonham Middle School as a way to turn it around. Bonham is in its 5th year of F ratings under the state accountability system. Because of that, our school district is in a situation where we must make a decision, and one of the options is to be taken over by the state of Texas. That is not something that the trustees of ECISD, nor the superintendent, nor the community really want for our system. So the other option that we have is to partner with another organization, specifically for Bonham Middle School, to bring in a partner to help us operate that school more effectively than it has been run over the last several years. That is because of its status as of year 5 F school, Murray said. We are forced to that because of the laws in the state of Texas. The principal and faculty have been made aware, and there are community meetings coming up. Contrary to rumor, Murray said it doesn't affect Bowie or Wilson and Young Middle Schools. We have an opportunity right now. It's called a call for quality schools. We are seeking partners, entities that wish to work with ECISD so that we can come together and create a really powerful solution for the students who attend school every day and a solution that will work for our community, he added. We will listen to the opportunities provided by those who are interested, Murray said. We haven't put out very specific ideas. This is our opportunity to listen, to see what partners bring to the table. Then we will review everything that the partners share with us, and then the Board of Trustees will make a decision as to which of the partners we choose to work with. Lots of folks are interested in that, and we've had phone calls and organizations that are interested in partnering with us in this work. So we will wait and listen to their proposals and make a decision that is best for the Bonham community, Murray said. The 2019-20 school year is when Bonham entered year 5 of F ratings in the state accountability system, so it has been known for a while. Murray said the district and campus have been working on the partnership process for quite a few months and have just recently made it public. Murray said he and the Bonham principal have had great conversations about this, and he met with the faculty face-to-face in a large auditorium to discuss it. We want every student to be affected by this partnership in a positive way. That's the goal, is to find a partner, somebody we can work with well as a school district, that will positively impact every single child at that school, Murray said. ECISD is currently taking applications until the end of November. Then the district will review those applications and make a decision at the end of January on a recommendation to be taken to the school board. We will then negotiate a contract with that partner, and then by the end of March, we hope to have that contract finalized with that partner, Murray said. Asked how the partnership with Ector College Prep Success Academy is going, Murray said the school sits down with ECISD officials for an annual evaluation. But like the rest of the district, there are no state test results to go over because of COVID-19. There are certainly some good things that are happening on their campus. We're pretty pleased, but we also have things that need to be improved upon. The school is aware of those things as well, so we have those conversations with the school, Murray said. Adventures in Art coming up. Registration is now available for the Ellen Noel Art Museum's Adventures in Art program. Students can explore the exciting world of art with Adventures in Art, a fun program of gallery walks, art history, and creative studio art classes for children ages 6 to 12. Class size is limited. Masks will be required for students and any adults entering the building. Entry is through the East Side Garden Gate. Cost is $20 per class, $25 for ceramics, with registration in advance only. Scholarships are available through the Neely Hunter Palmer Memorial Fund. Contact Annie Stanley at 550-9696, extension 213, for more information. Upcoming Adventures in Art classes. November 8th, ceramics. Create your own clay critter inspired by artist Diana Kersey's work. All pieces will be fired in the museum's kill. Fee, $25. December 6th, painting. Have fun making acrylic paintings of everyday objects, such as shoes and pets, in the style of artist Myra Kalman. Fee, $20. January 10th, fashion design tour. Betrothed, 250 years of wedding fashions, and try your hand at fashion design by making paper dolls or heroes and the accessories to go along. Fee, $20. February 7th, collage. Celebrate the art of collage after studying the work of Jacob Lawrence and Romar Bearden. Fee, $20. Sewell announces third annual Christmas tree market. The Sewell family of companies has scheduled its third annual Parks Legato Christmas Tree Market to begin November 20th, a press release stated. The Christmas Tree Market will be staged at the Parks Legato Plaza by Cork and Pig Tavern, with all profits going to the Permian Band Booster Club, who staffs the market. The Permian Band and Booster Club are proud to be working with Parks Legato and the Sewell family of companies to bring the Christmas spirit back to West Texas. With everything we've been through this year, it will be wonderful to see the spirit of Christmas descend upon the Permian Basin. Permian Band Booster Club President Spencer McBurney stated in a press release, "We hope that a tree, wreath, or garland from the Christmas tree market will help brighten homes throughout West Texas again this year. The market is scheduled for 6 to 10 p.m. November 20th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. November 21st, 1 to 6 p.m. November 22nd, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. November 27th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. November 28th, 1 to 6 p.m. November 29th, 6 to 10 p.m. December 4th, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. December 5th. In addition to the Christmas tree market, Parks Legato is also going to have Santa stay from 6 to 8 p.m. Saturdays, vendor market from 4 to 8 p.m. Saturdays, and horse-drawn carriage rides from 6 to 9 p.m. Saturdays. Obituary and death notices for Friday, October 30th. Ivan Ray Shiflett. Ivan Ray Shiflett, 72, of Granbury, passed away Tuesday, October 26th in Fort Worth. A memorial service will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, October 31st at Wiley Funeral Home in Granbury. Ray was born in Orange to Ivan Ambrose Shiflett and Faye Irita Walker Shiflett and grew up in Odessa. He is survived by his three children, Sharon Forrest and husband Darren of Hobbs, New Mexico, J.R. Spence and wife Mina of Edmond, Oklahoma, and Cody Shiflett and wife Heather of Granbury. He is also survived by his oldest brother, Gene Shiflett, and wife, Pat of Houston, brother, Gary Shiflett, and wife, Helen of Hearst, and sister, Charlotte Hansen of Odessa, as well as 9 grandchildren and 5 nephews and 3 nieces. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Wiley Funeral Home in Granbury. Death notices. Olin Van Grady. Olin Van Grady, 72, of Odessa, died Sunday, October 25th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Jackie Warren Funeral Home of Midland. David Allen McInnes. David Allen McInnes, 58, died Monday, October 26th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. The Education section. Idea Travis is rewriting elementary schools story by Haley McCarthy. Adults must change how they speak about schools and children. When I first learned IDEA Public Schools was partnering with Midland Independent School District to transform Travis Elementary, I was immediately interested. The opportunity to partner and collaborate with a traditional school district was something I had wanted to do for years. In my previous role as the principal of IDEA South Flores Academy on the south side of San Antonio, we competed against the local school district around student enrollment and state scores, and it seemed to never lead to better outcomes for children or the community. Travis Elementary received failing marks from the Texas Education Agency for 5 consecutive years. Normally, when this happens, the state closes the school and disperses the children to different schools in the area. One of the significant benefits of the partnership between IDEA Public Schools and MISD was that we could avoid closing Travis Elementary. Instead, all the Travis students would stay at their neighborhood school, but the school would now be led by IDEA Public Schools. Once I committed to being the principal of IDEA Travis, I wanted to get to know the students and the community that I would serve. I was told a dire story about Travis. I was told that the students at Travis Elementary were downright dangerous and that I should be ready to break up fights every day. I was told that the Travis parents don't care about their children's education. As one person put it, Travis was the hot potato of MISD that was passed around from one principal to the next because no one wanted to work there. Hearing all these stories made me nervous. I started preparing myself and my team for an uphill battle. But when I launched Idea Travis this August, I experienced the opposite of what I had heard. While the children at Travis are years behind academically, they are the hardest working students I have ever worked with. They care about learning and are trying to catch up. Despite having busy work schedules, parents have stepped up over and over to partner with us to help their children. This experience taught me that there's a story that is told about certain schools and certain communities in Midland. This story targets schools that serve children from low-income backgrounds, and it is just that, a story. It is untrue, and this story stops today. Children believe in themselves if the adults around them believe in them. We, as the adults of this community, need to change the way that we speak. We need to talk about children in any part of town the way we would talk about our own children, that they can and they will achieve. The success of the children in Midland is the responsibility of the adults in Midland. When we get it right, they will thrive. Haley McCarthy is the executive principal at Idea Travis. Education Briefs from Staff Reports. MISD Business Academy expands class offerings. Midland ISD's Business Academy is meeting challenges of COVID-19 by expanding class offerings pertaining to digital communication. Two of the first classes that students take once entering the academy are Business Information Management 1 and 2. These dual credit courses are taught at Midland High and focus on Microsoft Office products. As a part of the class, students can earn certifications in Microsoft Word and Excel, instantly increasing their marketability. Beginning next semester, the Business Academy will add classes on Outlook and Microsoft Teams, a platform for digital collaboration. Other classes in the Business Academy include finance, introduction to business, and managerial classes. Because of dual credit, students could graduate from high school with up to 23 college-level credits, specifically in a business discipline. Coleman High School to conclude Breast Cancer Awareness Month initiative. Coleman High School's Breast Cancer Awareness Month initiative concludes Wednesday when cancer survivors will speak to students. A drawing for a Master gift card will follow the presentations, according to a press release from Midland ISD Communications Department. The school's initiative was aligned with the NFL's Crucial Catch program and sought to educate students and members of the community about potentially life-saving cancer screenings and the importance of early detection, according to the release. ECISD to use SpaceX satellites to provide internet. Ector County ISD, Permian Strategic Partnership, and Chiefs for Change, a national nonprofit dedicated to ensuring all children receive a quality education, are launching a new partnership with aerospace company SpaceX to expand internet capacity for students, according to a press release from the district. ECISD is the first school district in the United States to work with SpaceX in harnessing the Starlink satellite constellation to deliver high-speed, low-latency internet access for its students. The project initially will provide free internet service to 45 families in the Pleasant Farms area of South Ector County. The school district will identify the families and facilitate delivery of the necessary equipment to those homes. The service will be active early in 2021. As the network capabilities continue to grow, it will expand to serve an additional 90 Ector County families. When the coronavirus pandemic forced the closure of school last spring, ECISD officials surveyed teachers, students, and families about internet service. ECISD leaders found that about 39% of families have limited to no internet access. Midland College Profiles by Rebecca Bell. Native fell in love with Midland because of Midland College. I've lived in Midland all my life, but it wasn't until I was a student at Midland College and participated in Students in Philanthropy did I fall in love with Midland, Lauren Bell said. That's when I knew it was where I would return for college after college graduation. Bell is a 2015 graduate of Midland High School and enjoys playing tennis. She graduated in 2017 with an Associate of Arts degree from Midland College and then transferred to Texas Tech, where she graduated in May with a bachelor's degree in public relations and an emphasis in nonprofit management. She is putting that degree to good use in her current position as the Development and Communications Coordinator at Midland Children's Rehab Center. She promotes the center's activities, writes grants, maintains social media, and performs general marketing for fundraising efforts, as well as the center's activities. As a recent graduate with her level of experience and knowledge, Lauren is a very valuable asset, bringing a fresh new perspective to our development department, Cecilia Gebel, MCRC Development Director, said. We are thrilled to have Lauren be a part of Midland Children's. I knew about the wonderful work that MCRC does through my involvement in SIP at Midland College, Bell said. Through SIP, I learned about the community and all the great nonprofit agencies in Midland. It's been exciting to work at MCRC. I have the privilege to work with some of the same donors who supported SIP. Bell fondly remembers her time in Midland College SIP. It was during her involvement in the club that she met her fiancé, Jacob Garrett. Garrett was president of SIP, while Bell served as vice president. She credits SIP and Julia Vickery, who was the organization's advisor at the time, for her going into the nonprofit area. Bell said Vickery stressed creating dreams and then going for them. Lauren is that rare gem, perfectly balancing a strong work ethic, sense of purpose, and limitless compassion, said Vickery, who is now MC Vice President of Student Services. As an officer and member of SIP, Lauren chased the mission of philanthropy and held others first in all things. The nonprofit community is incredibly lucky to have her in their ranks. While at Midland College, Bell also served as Vice President of the Student Government Association. She was a member of Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society and an honors graduate. She maintained a 4.0 grade point average the entire time she was at MC. Upon graduating from MC, Bell was awarded the Laura McCabe Students in Philanthropy Scholarship from the Abel Hanger Foundation. At Texas Tech, Bell was a member of Mortar Board, an honor society composed of college seniors who are selected for distinguished ability and achievement in scholarship, leadership, and service. In addition, she belonged to the Public Relations Student Society of America, and she interned with High Sky Children's Ranch, performing social media and grant writing services for the Midland Nonprofit Agency. I watched Lauren begin her journey at Midland College as a student, Terry Gilmore, government professor and director of the MC Honors Program, said. I watched as she became a leader in SIP and Phi Theta Kappa. I watched as she continued her journey at Texas Tech with her tradition of excellence. I watched as she became a beautiful young woman who wants to contribute to her community. Now I am proud to call her my friend. As a Midland College student, Bell not only worked closely with Gilmore through Phi Theta Kappa and the Honors Program, but also participated with Gilmore on a paper and presentation for the West Texas Symposium of History and West Texas Journal of History. Bell was the first MC student to have a paper published in the journal and started a tradition of having a student present at the symposium each year. The topic of her paper and presentation in 2017 was the history and development of Midland architecture. Midland College was not a part of my initial plan, Bell said. However, it was the best decision I ever made. MC gave me the opportunity to discover my passion. The professors were nurturing, and they really invest in their students. I would do it all over again. Belle enjoyed Midland College so much that she encouraged her sister Christian to attend MC. The younger Belle is in her second year at the college. Both Belle and Garrett, who is finishing his bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering at the University of Texas Permian Basin, plan to be married next year. They still keep in touch with MC professors, including Krista Comilla, MC Department Chair of Mathematics. Bell said that Comilla continues to check on the couple. Lauren was one of the most driven students I've ever had in class, Comilla said. She was goal-oriented and strove for perfection in all that she undertook. Her drive for perfection was only outmatched by her professionalism and respect for her instructors and classmates. Teaching Lauren was a true joy and honor, and I am extremely proud of all that she has accomplished. Rebecca Bell is Executive Director of Institutional Advancement at Midland College.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, October 28, 2020. This column is entitled, Dems Campaign versus Barrett Fell Flat, by Ramesh Panuru, Bloomberg. Four of the last 14 vacancies on the Supreme Court arose when different parties controlled the White House and a majority in the Senate. In those cases, the president's initial nominee didn't make it through half the time. When the president and the Senate were allied, on the other hand, 9 of 10 initial nominees were confirmed. That's the simplest explanation for why Judge Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed to the Supreme Court. The Republicans had the votes. What the balance of power didn't explain was rising public support for Barrett. The Morning Consult found a steady increase in the percentage of voters favoring her confirmation. If the polls had instead turned against her, a few Republican senators might have gotten nervous enough to stop her nomination. But that didn't happen. When Barrett writes her thank you notes, the first one should go to Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, California, and not for the hug she gave Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, for his handling of the recent Judiciary Committee proceedings. In 2017, during hearings over Barrett's confirmation to an appellate court, the California Democrat infamously made a snide remark about the nominee's Catholic faith. The dogma lives loudly in you. Feinstein's aides made criticism of Barrett based on their unfamiliarity with basic Christian terms such as the kingdom of God. Feinstein's attack drew widespread condemnation. Christopher Eisgruber, the president of Princeton University, who is neither conservative nor Catholic, wrote a letter decrying it. Feinstein made Barrett a heroine to politically engaged conservatives nationwide. The controversy wouldn't have been enough to get her on the Supreme Court shortlist, but it got more influential conservatives to take a look at her intellect and accomplishments. No senator did more to get Barrett the Supreme Court nomination than Feinstein. When Barrett got it, Republicans were ready. They warned that Democrats would attack the nominee's religion. Senate Democrats, including Feinstein, avoided repeating her mistake. But they were also inhibited from making the case that Barrett is a social issues extremist. And when they did, it was easier for Republicans to associate their accusation with religious bigotry. The main argument against Barrett was instead based on procedure. They said that it was improper to confirm a justice during a presidential election and that Republicans were hypocrites for doing it after denying President Barack Obama the chance to fill a vacancy in 2016. None of this had anything to do with Barrett herself. Voters could be persuaded that the Democrats were right about all of it without becoming convinced that putting Barrett on the court was in any way dangerous. In 1987, Senator Ted Kennedy, Democrat, Massachusetts, defeated a nomination by painting a frightening picture of Robert Bork's America. In 2018, Democrats nearly succeeded in defeating Brett Kavanaugh's nomination after accusing him of everything from perjury to sexual assault. In 2020, in the heat of the first presidential debate, Joe Biden said of Barrett, "I'm not opposed to the justice. She seems like a very fine person." The ongoing election campaign ended up turning the temperature down on the hearings. Democratic senators, knowing that she was likely to be confirmed, spent their questioning time scoring points against Trump and Republican senators, at least as much as they did trying to make Barrett look bad. The Democrats also played their weak hand badly. Early talk of boycotting the hearings came to nothing. A boycott would not have been effective, but might still have been better than what the Democrats did, which was to participate in the hearings and then call them illegitimate. Barrett performed well at the hearings. She was greatly aided by the convention that court nominees not share their views on disputed constitutional issues, a convention she interpreted expansively. The senators never flummoxed her, never got her to make a gaffe. She didn't come across as an ideologue or a cold know-it-all. Instead, she came across exactly as one would have expected after reading the American Bar Association's evaluation of her nomination to the Supreme Court. It reported, "Most remarkably, in interviews with individuals in the legal profession and community who know Judge Barrett, whether for a few years or decades, not one person uttered a negative word about her character." By the end of the hearings, Barrett's opponents were reduced to complaining about the good impression she makes. Meanwhile, Republicans were vigorously and consistently arguing for Barrett, while Democrats sporadically and limply argued against her. That blank page of notes she held up might as well have been a list of all the Democratic criticisms of her that connected with the public. And that's why she was soon to be just what Biden's slip of the tongue foretold, Justice Barrett.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, October 28, 2020. Smart Snacking with a Twist of Fall by Brenda Garcia, MSRD, United Supermarkets Lifestyle Desk. Have you ever had a hunger pain in between meals? This is a very natural response your body produces to let you know it's hungry. Well, you might be thinking, I just ate an hour ago, or I don't have time right now, or even I don't like snacking. There are so many things that go through the mind in order to mitigate this response. Ask yourself, though, what if I had a snack and gave into this feeling of hunger? What would happen? Also, what would happen if you didn't? It is not a bad thing to snack. You just have to do it the right way. A lot of people think about snacking as a taboo thing when it really just comes down to what you are snacking on. Just like any other meal, as long as you are putting nutrient-rich things into your body, you will be fine. While it is our first reaction when thinking about snacking to think about potato chips, cookies, candy, and other unhealthy foods, there are plenty of ways to satisfy your craving without resorting to junk food. Here are some nutrient-packed solutions for a small snack that can help tide you over until your next meal. Beef jerky with dried cranberries, pretzels and carrots with hummus, pistachios, honey-roasted cashews, and dark chocolate almonds, Benito's chips with guacamole, Justin's dark chocolate peanut butter cups, Kodak Bear cinnamon crackers with dark chocolate hummus, skinny dipped almonds, Boom Chicka Pop or Skinny Pop popcorn, Greek yogurt with bare naked granola, mozzarella cheese with canned black olives, string cheese with cherry tomatoes, assorted bell peppers dipped in salsa, sliced cucumbers and fajita seasoning, grapes with yogurt-covered almonds, pears with walnuts. Toast a whole grain waffle and top with low-fat Greek yogurt and peaches. Sprinkle grated Parmesan cheese on hot popcorn. Put cubes of low-fat cheese and grapes on pretzel sticks for some mini kebabs. Fill an ice cream cone with cut-up fruit and top with low-fat yogurt. As usual, serving size is important here. Keep it small, snack size versus meal size. But what about when you just want something sweet or salty or both? When it comes to snacking, remember the 80-20 rule still applies. During 80% of the time, we should be eating healthy foods, but it's okay to indulge 20% of the time. To help with that sweet salty tooth, here's a fun fall snack idea. Fun Fall Trail Mix. Ingredients: 4 cups bag Bugles, half a bag candy corn, 4 cups of pumpkin spice Cheerios, 2 cups pretzel sticks, 2 cups marshmallows. Instructions: mix all ingredients together and serve. Local News Roundup. Halloween Special. Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled an online Halloween special by clothing historian and collector Stephen Potterfield at 6 p.m. Thursday. Potterfield will lecture about the history of Victorian mourning, including the fashionable trend of creating mourning jewelry from human hair. To view or for more information, visit www.noelartmuseum.org or www.facebook.com/Ellen Noel Art Museum. WNPAC sets cinema under the stars. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center is hosting Cinema Under the Stars. The Halloween double feature is Hocus Pocus at 8 p.m. and at 11 p.m. the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Both are on Thursday. Free popcorn will be provided by Complex Community Federal Credit Union. Partial proceeds for the Rocky Horror Picture Show will benefit the Ham Hocks of Midland Community Theater. There will be a costume contest. Costumes must depict the movies being shown, movie-themed specialty cocktails, free popcorn while supplies last, a photo booth, and prop bags available to purchase for use during the Rocky Horror screening. For additional guidelines, visit wagnernoel.com. Face masks that cover your nose and mouth are required to be worn at all times while in the venue for guests ages 10 or older, unless you are actively eating or drinking. Tickets for Cinema Under the Stars are $5, and each movie will be sold separately with assigned seating to allow for social distancing. You can purchase tickets for each movie screening and will have to choose your seats each time, meaning it will be first come, first serve, and having the same seats for each movie is not guaranteed. Concert. New Dawn Fellowship, 2110 East 10th Street, has scheduled a live concert featuring Doug Anderson Thursday. Doors open at 6 p.m. The concert starts at 7 p.m. Call 653-5259 or visit newdawnfellowship.com.
Hi. This is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, October 4th, 2020. Gloria's Diner continues to support Midlanders. By J.C. Lewis, jacy.lewis@hurstmp.com. Gloria's Diner was open for 10 days before the pandemic hit, and the restaurant was forced to close for 3 months. The diner, located in the old Graham Pharmacy building on Briarwood Avenue, is slowly reopening. owner and chef Kim Herrard, who also operates Munchie's Food Truck and Indulgence Catering, expected to open in August of last year. But when the shelving was removed, the building's occupancy increased and more improvements were needed for the restaurant, named after Herrard's mother, grandmother, who taught her how to cook. We added more parking, more bathrooms, and more in fire suppression, and put in fire suppression. That took us from August until March. We opened March 1st, and then coronavirus hit March 11th, so we were open for 10 days. The diner has slowly started increasing seating capacity as the state allows, but every day has been different, she said. She has posted to the diner's Facebook page asking for help from the community. We try to go with the flow, and when we are busier, we stay open longer, and when it's slow, we close, she said. My main goal in all of this is keeping my staff, because I hired specific staff strictly for the diner, and I didn't want to lay them off because of this. That was our main purpose in all of this, and our Facebook posts, and I guess our outcry to the community, or it was so we could keep our staff. Herrard said she was expecting to operate at a loss, as most new businesses do their first year, but never expected something like a pandemic to make things more difficult. When she recently announced a change in hours of 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., she received a positive reaction. The building can be rented out for private parties, and after she posted about closing for dinner hours, multiple people booked parties for weeknights. The community has listened to what I have to say, and they wanted local restaurants to stick around, she said. I can't be more thankful for that. That's part of the reason I do that I post things I do, because I feel like they should know what's going on with the restaurant. Despite the difficulties, Herrard wants to continue to give back to the community. Each day of the week, she gives a discount to certain groups of people. First responders receive a discount on Mondays, teachers on Tuesdays, seniors get a discount on Wednesdays, military receive a discount on Thursdays, and on Fridays, all milkshakes are half off. We do a lot of booster club things, and I do a whole lot of things with Great House Elementary Schools. We're about to do a fundraiser with Lee High School cheerleaders. We're trying to be community-driven. I want to give back to the community because they have helped us through all of this. Menu favorites include brisket tacos, which was a favorite of her food truck munchies, jalapeno popper grilled cheese, and a Cubano sandwich with smoked pulled pork. She said they try to use as many homemade and local ingredients as possible. Luigi's reopened its dining room Tuesday. The restaurant is operating at 50% capacity. Curbside pickup is still available, and the restaurant is working on a delivery option. Press Cafe has teamed up with Pink the Basin for a fundraiser October 12th through the 17th. All proceeds during that week will go to the nonprofit that helps women in need of mammograms. For the Dine and Donate week, Sewell Chevrolet Buick GMC will pay for customers' meals. In exchange, the Sewell family of companies asks that patrons donate an amount at least equal to the value of their meal.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Monday, September 28th, 2020. This is the opinion page. This column is entitled Latinos Could Decide the 2020 Election by Ruben Navarrete, Washington Post Writers Group. I've written about the Latino vote for 30 years, and I've been a Latino voter for longer than that. So lately I've been asked why Joe Biden has such a big problema with Latino voters, as well as why President Donald Trump is poised to do well with people that he often mistakes for piñatas. Both trends make sense to me, even as a Latino never-Trumper. In fact, although many commentators have recently noted that Biden's Latino support is falling, while Trump's stock with Latinos is on an uptick, I saw this hurricane coming a few months back. Back in May, I wrote about how many Latinos don't like the former vice president or consider him their amigo. Latinos are all about relationships. Biden doesn't have one with us, and he never has. Even with his half-century in elective office, it's difficult to name a single piece of legislation that Biden has authored that specifically benefited Latinos. Latinos' apathy toward Biden has been hard to miss. Even before they were largely left off the agenda last month at the virtual Democratic National Convention. In November 2019, during the primary, Biden was confronted over his record with Latinos at a town hall in South Carolina. Carlos Rojas, a Latino immigrant advocate, grilled Biden about the reprehensible actions of President Barack Obama. Biden served at Obama's side for 8 years with nary a peep publicly about Obama's assault on immigrants and refugees, record deportations, separation of families, kids in cages, etc. An impatient Biden snapped at Rojas, "You should vote for Trump." As you wish. Now many Latinos appear ready to take Biden's advice and vote for his opponent. Polls show Trump performing well in Arizona, Texas, and Florida, with 50%, 37%, and 29% of the Latino vote, respectively. For a Republican, anything north of 30% of the Latino vote is a decent showing, and getting more than 35% all but ensures that the Democrat doesn't stand a chance of winning. As the liberal East Coast media, whose ignorance about all things Latino remains profound, whistle past the graveyard by claiming that Trump's Latino support is limited to anti-socialist factions. The wound is deeper than that. Biden is bleeding support from the Latino community's quintessential swing voters, Mexicans and Mexican Americans in the Southwest. It is counterintuitive that a group of voters that supported the Democratic nominee in the last 15 presidential elections dating back to 1960 would desert the current Democratic nominee. Even more so that a healthy slice of those voters would back the most anti-Latino president since, well, the last president. Then again, much of politics is counterintuitive. Catholic voters back Democratic politicians who support abortion rights, and then demagogue Catholic judicial nominees as religious zealots. Meanwhile, evangelical Christians who preach morality and propriety have no qualms about supporting a Republican president who isn't remotely acquainted with either concept. This should have been the Latino election. Latinos are poised to surpass African Americans for the first time, become the largest group of non-white eligible voters in the United States. Both political parties should pay closer attention to the estimated 15 million Latino voters expected to cast ballots on November 3rd, including the sizable number who live in four crucial battleground states, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, and Florida. Keep a few things in mind. There is no Latino bloc, but there is a Latino vote. Just as there is a Jewish vote, or an African-American vote, or a working-class white vote. It's not that millions of people get together and decide beforehand who they'll support, but it is fair and helpful to track how certain candidates do with specific groups. Republicans do well with Latinos who are conservative, Cubans, Venezuelans, and Colombians. Democrats tend to have a lock on the liberals, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Central Americans. Mexicans and Mexican Americans are up for grabs as registered Democrats who will support moderate Republicans. And while immigrant bashing has been shown to get our dander up, our top issues are jobs, the economy, education, and health care. Though it is also fair to describe us as a single-issue voters. That issue is respect. Along with family and an incredible work ethic, it's everything to us. Ignore that fact at your peril. And what about when Latinos have to choose between two candidates, each of whom has, at different times and in different ways, disrespected them? That prospect is dark and depressing. Welcome to Election 2020.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. CBD for insomnia and pain. Dear Dr. Roach, your recent column discussed smoking or vaping for insomnia and or pain. A 70-ish friend uses 3 drops of CBD oil under her tongue each night and finds it really helps her sleep and quiets arthritis pain. I'm thinking of trying it. Any pros or cons to be aware of? NC. Answer. Cannabidiol is one of the principal pharmacologically active components of cannabis. Unlike tetrahydrocannabinol, it does not have psychoactive effects. The data showing effectiveness are more robust than they were a few years ago, but are still approved only for uncommon seizure disorders. Some people certainly find it effective for pain. It seems to be safe even in high doses. The main issue is that the amount of CBD in a given preparation has been found to vary considerably, with over half of CBD sold online found to be incorrectly labeled, and over 20% containing THC. Independent third-party verification of quality and strength is best for being able to trust a product, since they are not regulated by the Food and Drug Administration.
Man is unsure of the future with his bi-curious fiancé. Dear Abby for Friday. Dear Abby, my fiancé and I are in our early 50s. We dated for 2 years and have been engaged for 3 months. She's a wonderful lady, and I can't imagine life without her. I knew she was bi-curious a year ago when she told me one of her married female co-workers was flirting with her, and she kind of enjoyed it. Since then, their relationship has grown, and they get together every couple of weeks for intimacy in our home. They have even asked me to join them, which I haven't done yet. My fiancé insists she isn't a lesbian or bisexual, and what she and her friend are doing is innocent fun, but I'm not so sure. So far, I haven't made an issue of it and go to bed at my usual time when her friend visits so they can have their fun. But have I opened Pandora's box by being so agreeable? She promises no romantic feelings are involved, that her friend is no threat to our relationship, and the two of them are just blowing off steam. Our love life is great, and she says nothing can replace us in the bedroom. Should I continue to look the other way, or is this a fork in the road that could lead to a life of anything goes? Confounded in Kentucky. Dear Confounded. This is not happening because you allowed it. It is happening because this is what your fiancé feels she needs. Not knowing her, I can't predict where she is on a Kinsey scale, a 1 being entirely heterosexual and a 10 being entirely homosexual. At this point, I don't think she can either. Unless you are comfortable with the idea of living this way, I urge you to have a very long engagement, because it is anybody's guess how this will turn out. The 3 of you are all consenting adults, so I won't judge. I can't help but wonder if the spouse of your fiancé's lover knows about the steam they are blowing off. I must, however, point out that if a traditional monogamous marriage is what you want, your fiancé may not be the lady for you. Dear Abby, I am 15, and in my job I work with some of my cousins and siblings. There are other people, too. I make friends easily because I can talk to everyone. Everyone I work with says I'm flirting with 2 guys who are just my friends. I don't want people to think I'm flirting because I'm not. How can I convince people that we are just friends and nothing more? Friendly Teen in Idaho. Dear Teen, the individuals who are accusing you of flirting may be teasing you to get a reaction, or they may be trying to point out something important that you should keep in mind when you are working. Working with someone is different from hanging out. The relationships are a little more formal and serious than in a social environment away from the job. This will not be your only venture into the workforce, and when you are a little older, you will realize that rules discouraging personal relationships between coworkers, both written and unwritten, are put in place to protect you and the business. So rather than work on convincing people that you're not flirting, be your friendly self, but in a more professional way.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Aries until 4:19 p.m., when the moon enters Taurus. Happy birthday for Friday, October 30, 2020. Multi-talented, gutsy, and attentive, you often work in the service of a cause. This year, spend more time and energy on yourself and keep in mind the larger picture. You become top of your field. If single, prepare for a time of excitement and intensity in love, even when playing the field. If attached, your brightest love cycle is this year. Your partner is also successful. Taurus never lets you go. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. A fiery natural leader who is quick to act and speak, Aries keeps life moving. Each day brings a fresh start, a time to welcome a myriad of novel possibilities. Love prospects and great opportunities abound today. Tonight, in wonderment at your good fortune. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Dreams reflect and provide insights concerning your path. Be aware of how repeating habits and patterns affect your life's path for good or ill. Examine the past if you would know the future. Tonight, invoke an angel or spirit guide for assistance and protection. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. Today offers a marvelous cycle for professional networking. Call up old friends with whom you haven't spoken to in eons. Politics, community activities, and new friendships link to long-term goals. Tonight, you feel it all dropping into place and coming together. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Express creative ideas at work. It's a wonderful day to combine business with pleasure. One who admires you can offer a valuable recommendation leading to a promotion. Place a small potted pine tree in your workspace. Tonight, it will promote growth and stability. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Projects that were once laborious are easier to complete today. Make a social occasion of doing chores by asking for a friend's assistance. Your creativity is blossoming. Trust your hunches and reach out to those who can help you. Tonight, a touch of magic. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Both business and personal relationships reach a turning point. Hidden factors are revealed to change your opinions and perspective. Detective and research skills serve you well. Problems and arguments are resolved. Tonight, an early night's sleep for the detective. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. You greet the day with a volatile and intense relationship situation in progress. Meditate on whether to hold on or to just let go and move forward. A matter can be resolved in your favor. Tonight, a makeup date. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Revel in the success someone close to you enjoys. Then the rest of today is just for you. The magic of extra sleep. Drink fluids to detoxify the body. Try foot baths or steep healing herbs in your bath water. Tonight, pampering day becomes pampering night. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. You are a wandering free spirit in matters of the heart. Even if completely attached, your romantic needs are evolving. Today initiates some unexpected developments in love, perhaps a change in the status of a relationship. Tonight, people appreciate your creativity and breezy personality. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Modernization of your surroundings might be pleasing. A new theme or home remodeling project appears. The sale or purchase of property could pave the way to financial freedom. A family member's contribution or advice brings welcome financial assistance. Tonight, relax. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Today finds you especially talkative and promises an interesting daily schedule punctuated by numerous messages and outings. The stars favor a focus on planning and correspondence. Embrace future travel opportunities, too. Tonight, catching up with a sibling or neighbor. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 3 stars. You experience some frustration linked to money matters today. Go over everything with a fine-tooth comb and consider new strategies for enhancing your finances and your security. Talk with an elderly female family member. Tonight, be adaptable and economize. Don't let yourself splurge. Born today, artist Alfred Sisley, 1839, director Louis Malle, 1932, model activist Ashley Graham, 1987.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.